In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we've talked about Nehemiah. There was a time in Nehemiah's life where he was the cupbearer, and he had a nice job, nice benefits. Everything was going very well. And then all of a sudden, brethren came in and talked to him about the Jerusalem, and talked about the walls there in Jerusalem, and talked about what was going on. There's destruction in the walls. There was destruction of the gates. The gates were on fire and being burned. And then there was affliction to the Israelites, and Nehemiah got a burden for those walls. He started praying. He started fasting. Brought him to tears. We talked about how we ought to have a burden for God's work in our lives, and the burden for Asheville, North Carolina, and a burden for America, and a burden for the world. Amen? We talked about Nehemiah's burden. And we talked about how God used Nehemiah to the king, King Artaxerxes. He was working for the king, and how God used him in a great way there. And then Nehemiah walked to the grounds and walked at night and kind of looked and see what was going on and what needed to be done. And he was walking around, and then Nehemiah came to this conclusion in front of the people. He says, it's time to arise and build. And what a leader Nehemiah is. What a leader Nehemiah was to those people. Didn't back down. There were people that didn't like that. There were people that thought maybe our efforts could be used in some other way. Maybe our resources could be used in another way. But building up this wall and this gate again, that's not what we ought to do. Nehemiah took care of them. Then we come to Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 1. And the building begins. You see, now they not only built the walls, but they concentrated a lot on the gates here in chapter 3. In chapter 3, we see that there are 10 gates. Now, there's actually 12 gates, but Nehemiah concentrates here in chapter 3 on the 10 gates. And as we go through Nehemiah chapter 3, we're going to concentrate on those gates. And may I say, there's a lot of Christians that build the walls up, but they leave the gates down. They start building the walls, they start building their Christian life, and they make decisions in their life, and then they leave the gates wide open. I remember the story of a young man that was coming to a Sunday service, and he came down the altar, and he started praying, and the pastor could hear him pray, and he said, "Dear Lord, please remove the cobwebs of my soul." The next Sunday, he came again. He started praying, "Dear Lord, please remove the cobwebs of my soul." And the pastor saw a pattern there. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, he would come back, "Lord, please remove the cobwebs of my soul." And one Sunday, the pastor finally got down there in the altar with him, and he says, "Do you mind if I pray?" And the boy looked at him and said, "Okay, if it's up to you." And the pastor said, "Lord, please remove the cobwebs from his soul and kill the spider." Amen. And Nehemiah knew that it wasn't just the walls that need to be built, but we need to work on the gates too. The gates were important. The gates were for protection. And why would someone build a wall and leave the gates in ruin? And we just went over, why would Christians build walls in their life but yet have the same influences? I remember a young man I discipled, and God really worked on his life to get rid of alcohol in his life. And drinking, and God worked on that. God worked on his heart, and he made a decision to do that. And not too long after he made that decision, he was right back in the alcohol and drinking alcohol. And what happened? What happened? He kept the influences in his life that led him to the alcohol. He had to make a decision that not only was he not going to drink alcohol, but he wasn't going to hang around the influences, and he had to cut some friendships off, and he had to build the gates. And we see that gates are important in Christians' lives as well. It was not only for protection, but the transactions were made at the gates. If you remember Boaz and the kinsman redeemer, and the transaction was given at the gate. And many times in Scripture, we see transactions at the gate. We see many times that there were notices on the gates of the criminals, and the reports of the criminals on the gates, on the walls right outside the gates, and a lot of things went on right there at the gates, and there were different gates for different purposes, and we're going to look at 10 of them. Today we're going to start with what was called the sheep gate. The sheep gate. Number one, I want us to look at the decision here. The lambs were gathered and brought through the sheep gate. When the Passover time was drawing near, they would bring these lambs, these sheep, right to the gate, and they would bring them through. And the Sadducees had a lot to do with this. And the people would gather around and choose lambs and sheep for their sacrifice. And it was a time, it was a gate, it was an important gate for that. And we see here that the picture of the sheep gate, it symbolizes the very Lamb of God. Amen? Aren't you thankful for the Lamb of God? And we look at the sheep gate, and boy, we can get excited because there was a lamb, there was a perfect lamb that came and gave his life for us. In Genesis chapter 22, we see a story. It's a true story of Abraham and his son, Isaac. I mean, remember that story, how that God told Abraham to take his own son up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his own son for his sins. How many fathers we have in here? How many know, as a father, that would be a tough task? That would be a hard thing to obey. I see my sons, and I love Hudson and Colton, but I tell you what, I don't know if I could ever do something like that. Well, if I was Abraham, I might say, Lord, why me? Why can't you choose somebody else? God, why my son? But Abraham was obedient. And as they were preparing everything, if you remember Isaac in verse 7 of Abraham chapter 22, he says, Dad, we have the wood. Dad, we have the fire. But Father, where's the lamb? Even in a young boy's mind and heart, he was trained. He knew there had to be a lamb. There must be a lamb. We're going to travel all this way, Father. All the way up the mountain, where's the lamb? Can you see the broken heart of Abraham? As he looked down in verse number 8, and Abraham said these two words, would have been the hardest words I could ever say. Looking in the eyes of my son, saying, my son, God will provide. Look at that word. The word is himself, a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. And we know that God came down in flesh and became the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And he was our sacrifice for our sins. For without the Lamb of God, we would have no hope. And so as we look at this sheep gate and we see the symbolization of the Lamb of God, may our hearts be happy and joyful that there was a Lamb of God that was worthy. John chapter 1 and verse 36, I look back at John and I see as John was baptizing, John the Baptist, he was doing the Lord's work as he was baptizing and as he was preaching to the people, he looked up and he saw someone. John chapter 1 and verse 36 says, and looking up upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the what? The Lamb of God. Who was he looking on? He was looking on Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There are those out there waiting, still waiting for the Lamb. Hey, the Lamb has already come. The Lamb has already come and died for our sins. We must choose that Lamb. You know, Christ chose us. We must choose Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I pray that you have called on his name." There are two choices here this morning. To accept Christ, to accept the Lamb of God, or to reject. To accept or reject. Can you see these people as they come up to the sheep gate? After the sheep gate is built, can you see how they come up to the sheep gate and they're choosing the lambs? Let me say, that's how we are as people. And we've come to the sheep gate. And some of us, some people have chosen the sheep of good works. Well, Pastor Creed, I'm a good person. You see that I'm here Sunday morning. You see that I'm at church, I'm faithful. Pastor Creed, I'm a good person. I think I'm going to go to heaven because of a good person. Ephesians chapter 2. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's a what? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you chose the sheep of good works, you're not getting to heaven. Many people have chose the sheep of false doctrine. False doctrine. "Well, Pastor Creed, I can get baptized and go to heaven. Well, Pastor Creed, if I finish this 9-week course, my priest says that I can go to heaven. If I just finish this and believe in that and go once a week to confession and do this and do that, then listen, that's false doctrine. That's not in the Word of God. That has nothing to do with the Lamb of God. But the Lamb of God has already done the work. The work has already been done. All you have to do is accept it and choose, I want that Lamb. I want the Lamb of God. I'm thankful for the sheep gate. There's the sheep of unbelief. Some might say, well, Pastor Creed, I just don't believe at all. I don't believe at all. Let me say this. If you're there in that, there will be a day you will believe. There is coming a day you're going to have to believe. Either way, you've picked the wrong lamb. Your new life begins with the Lamb of God. And it's something that the first gate that's announced that they worked on was what? The sheep gate. May I say the beginning of your Christian life begins with the Lamb of God? I've heard many people that aren't saved say, I pray every day. Your prayer doesn't get anywhere because you're lacking the Lamb of God. And without the Lamb of God, without the name of Jesus, without Jesus, there is no remission of sins. It must be through the Lamb of God. And I'm so thankful that Nehemiah was inspired to put this as the first gate because, listen, in our Christian life, this is our first step is salvation. I want to ask you this morning, have you accepted the Lamb of God? Have you put your faith in and your trust in the Lamb of God? You say, well, I'm a Christian. Not unless you put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God. I pray you have, because it starts at the Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," who's Christ? Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. He is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. It begins with the Lamb of God. That's why the sheep gate was built first. It begins with the Lamb of God. What a symbolization we have here. As the decision to accept Christ as our personal Savior, to accept the Lamb of God. We also see a dedication here. Look at the verse again. "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate." Now, who are they? We see priests are building the sheep gate. The priests are building the sheep gate. It says, they what? Sanctified it. Can anybody tell me what sanctified means? Two words, set apart. Set apart. Accepting the Lord as your Savior, accepting the Lamb of God, listen to me, is the most important decision that you'll ever, ever make in your life. It is the one decision that is set apart from all other decisions in your life. How many of you have been saved? You've accepted Christ, your personal Savior. You remember the time where you believed on Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstances led up to that, but boy, you have accepted the Lamb of God. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice for your sins. And guess what? That excites you. That gives you joy. That gives you hope. And that's the most important decision that you have ever made in your life. But if there's one small little ounce of doubt this morning, I'm begging you, not just encouraging, I'm pleading with you to get that right and settled. Maybe somebody here this morning, it may be a child, maybe an adult, and you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ. You haven't made that decision once and for all. And this morning, I plead with you to make the most important decision in your life, the one decision that is set apart. This is the gospel. This is it. I believe in one gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ, and that he died for you. Amen? That's good news. I believe in that one good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe Revelation 5, 11 through 12, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. That's a lot of people. The thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, listen, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And may I say this morning that worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. I'm so thankful that we had a perfect Lamb to come and take the sacrifices for us. There was a dedication here, a setting apart. There was also delivery here. Let's look at verse number 1 again. It says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. How many carpenters we have in here? Anybody? I know Matt. Matt's one. You ever put a door on? Yeah. How many of you have a house? How many of you live in a house? How many of you live in a building? Very good. Your house, this counts as a building. How many of you have walls where you live? Very good. Those walls are important, aren't they? How many of you have a roof? Yeah. And not a good one, Pastor Creed. My husband, he's, let's not get into that. Okay. You have walls, you have a roof. How many of you have a door? How many of you know the door is important? That gate, that door on that gate, that's important. But what's important about the sheep gate's door? Let's look at this. We're going to be talking about the fish gate tonight. Let's look at the fish gate for a second just to separate the difference between the door on the sheep gate and the door on the fish gate. We're going to be looking at the fish gate tonight. Look at verse 3. But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof. And look at this. The locks thereof and the what? Bars thereof. Look at verse 6. It's the old gate repaired. Look down. It says, and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars. Look at verse 13. The valley gate repaired. And he look down. He says, the locks thereof and the bars. Isn't that something? The sheep gate doesn't have any doors and locks. May I say this morning, anybody may enter. May the door of the sheep gate is wide open this morning. The Lamb of God is wanting you to enter the salvation. There's nothing holding you back. There's not a lock on the door. There's not any bars on the door. Hey, it's open. It's ready for you to enter. It's open for you. Many times in Jesus' ministry, we see that he used the sheep gate. John chapter 5, he used the sheep gate, and there was a man laying there by the pool. And he's waiting for the waters to be moved so he can get into the pool. And you know the story. He couldn't get there in time. Many other people had friends to help him. And you say, you don't need that pool. All you need is the what? The Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God will save you from your sins. That lame man didn't leave those waters. He got up and walked. He was healed. Amen. Anybody can come through to salvation. Amen. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that," oh wait a minute, here's a word, "whosoever." Say that word with me, ready? Whosoever. Does that sound like a small group of people, or does that sound like whosoever? It sounds like whosoever. Does that sound like a group of elect people over here that only they can go to heaven and God chooses these people to go to? No, that's not a loving God. See, my God pens in the Word of God. He's inspired the Word of God for this word, whosoever, many times. John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John 11:26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You can't get past that word, whosoever. Why? The door's not locked. It's for anybody. There's no locks. There's no bars on the door of the sheep gate. It's open to anybody in this morning. You are whosoever. You are whosoever. We see the door. We also see the towers. The Tower of Meha. Even into the Tower of Meha. So we have a tower over here. And then we go down to the sheep gate and the Tower of Meha, and then they sanctified all the way from the Tower of Meha to the Tower of Hananel. What does that mean? The Tower of Meha and the Tower of Hananel. What's going on here? The Tower of Meha meant 100. The Tower of Hananel means, listen, God favored. What's unmerited favor mean? What's that word? Grace. 100 sheep gate, grace of God. 100 sheep gate, great. Does that make you think of a story we know? There were 99 sheep. And Jesus Christ left the fold to go after that one, to have grace on that one. The Lamb of God was slain for whosoever, but the Lamb of God was slain for everyone, you. Each individual. Reminds me of this story of a man who has lived his whole life a single man. He was getting up in age and he met an orphan. And this orphan was born with some disfigurement, and every time people would come to the orphanage to look at adopting, they would go over this young man because they didn't like the disfigurement. And this older man saw this young orphan and started talking to the young orphan and building a relationship with the young orphan. And finally, that relationship grew and grew. And the older man went to the people in charge of the orphanage and said, "I was wondering if I could take him on day trips." And they said, "Yes, you can. He needs that." And this older man would take him on day trips. And finally, he said, "Well, can I take him to my house and eat lunch and prepare a meal for him?" He said, "Yes. Why don't you do that? Boy, this young man could use that." And this happened over and over again. And then finally, the man in charge of the orphanage says, "Why don't you just adopt?" And the single man said, you know what, I think I will. And as the paperwork was going, they said, why don't you keep him overnight for a couple of nights to see how it goes? The older man said, that'd be a great idea. Well, a couple nights into that, there was a fire. His house was on fire, and the man was sleeping downstairs. A young boy was upstairs. The man made it out, and he looked upstairs to see the boy in the window crying for help. There was a street full of people. No one to help the boy. This older man looked, and there was a downspout. The downspout was steaming hot, and he grabbed the downspout. Not caring about the pain, he traveled up that downspout, got up to the top of the roof, grabbed the boy, put him on his back, and brought him down the downspout to safety and saved that young man's life. During the council of approving this adoption, the man had to sit in and listen to these people ridicule him about having that fire, about being single and how he ought not to have how he ought not to adopt this young man, have this young man because he's single. He can't give the young man what he needs. And he says, and finally someone spoke up and says, well, there's a lot of ridicule about, tell me why. What makes you the person that you can handle this young man? What gives you the right to adopt this young man? This old man stood up and went to the front of the room. And he put up his hands, and the whole room saw the scars of what he went through to save that young man's life. And he said, this gives me the right. This morning, Jesus is here, and he's holding up his nail-pierced hands. Sinners, come. He's asking, sinners, come. If you don't know for sure if you die today, may I tell you, Jesus is waiting. The Lamb of God was slain for you. May you come and accept Christ this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the Lamb of God that was slain for the remission of our sins. Lord, I thank you for those who have put their faith and trust in you. I pray for those that may not have this morning, may have doubt. I pray that they'll make the most important decision they've ever made this morning. Heads bowed.